Good to see you again. Happy New Year. Hope you've had a good Christmas and New Year if you've been away and you're just coming back for the beginning of a new term. It's so good to see so many faces. One of the things that such a joy about standing up here is you get to see everyone, which is just wonderful. So just taking a good look, saying welcome, and hope you have a really blessed year ahead. Just some family news things that just remind us to keep close to God and that eternal things are big things that we need to be praying and looking out for one another. Kate Coffey, a 90-year-old lady, used to sit just there in a wheelchair. She died this week. And do pray for her son, John, and her daughter, Jean, that just as they remember this amazing woman, she was so faithful. She used to be part of this church and then a time away and then recently in her latter life had come back, and she used to come morning and evening and love to worship God. She just shone for Christ. So we'll let you know in the future as the funeral arrangements become clearer, but please do remember them in your family. And for me, it's just a reminder, there we have one of our brothers and sisters just in glory now with the Lord. Isn't that amazing? But you know, there's so many things as well that even as we remember those who've gone before, we remember that this is our life to live and that there are people who in their generation are making a stand for Jesus Christ. And one of those who was touched by the last baptism service and came to me afterwards and said, "Hey, I'd like to get baptized before I go on to university," was Victor. So I wonder if we can put our hands together for Victor, who's going to come forward and share something of his story. Victor, you want to come up now? Baptism is a sign of our identifying ourselves with Jesus' death and his resurrection to new life. And Victor's said that he'd like to share something about his story of how he's come to trust Jesus. So this is Victor, everyone.
Morning, afternoon to everybody. I've been a Christian for a very long time, since I was a kid. And it all started off with my parents. And I can remember going to church. My mother would take me, and my father would be away for the most of the years since he was in the army, so I hardly got to see him. So my mother, you know, did the hard work of raising me and my sisters, and she would take me to church regularly. I would go there, I would see people sing, read Bibles, and it got me curious, you know, what they were doing. And there was this particular moment when I was really ill. I was pale, I was very weak, and my mother was holding me, and we were off to church. And I had this gut feeling that I was going to collapse. And as I entered the church, I was taken to a room, and I was lying on the bed. And a pastor came to me, the pastor of that church, and he came to me, and he just laid his hand on my forehead, and a warmth went through me, which, you know, brought this regeneration, this recuperation in me, and I felt so strong. And as that sort of healing came to me, something was implanted in me, yet I never knew what was implanted in me. But as I began to grow in God, I realized when he heals you, he doesn't just do it for a second or just for a minute. He heals you completely, and then he leaves something in you for you to figure it out. And it takes you ages sometimes. And so I've grown since then. And I was in India studying. And this was one of my very personal moments when what I received and what I felt. I used to read the Bible till 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. And there was this moment where I was inside my sleeping bag. It was very cold then. I was inside my sleeping bag and pitch black. And I just started praying, and I wanted my prayer to be really special with God. And as I just closed my eyes, three things popped up. There was a seat, a big chair, massive, looked very heavy, and it was like almost, you know, I can't tell you the size. It's almost like standing in front of an Empire State Building. It was that massive. And then the other one was a figure of a man. And the other thing was sort of a line sort of thing just whirling about. And as I prayed, I began to realize I was in this spiritual realm. and I figured out it was a Trinity before me. So whenever I prayed, I would be in a different world, a spiritual realm, which would take me there. And I realized that every time I prayed, when I was back in India, I felt like completely immersed in the Holy Spirit. And so a prayer has become a very unique thing for me. It's not ordinary, it's extraordinary for me. And I don't know how you feel or what you feel when you pray, but whenever I close my eyes, I'm in a different place. I'm not in a chair or at home. I'm there. And that's really changed me and given me a different perspective of God. And as Oral Roberts used to say, Jesus came to take away what the devil put in us. And he also came to put in us what the devil took away from us. And similarly in John 10:10, it says, the second line of it, Jesus said, I came so you may have life more abundantly. And I think baptism is a good way to start and to have a life more abundantly. And before I go, I just want to thank David and the whole entire church for having me here, having me a family, and thank you for everything.
Fantastic.
Thanks, Victor, for what you shared, and we can just see Christ in you and in your family. It's been a joy to have you come and be part of us. And I'm going to ask those same four questions that I ask everyone who's baptized here. So, Victor, do you admit that you're a sinner in need of God's forgiveness?
Yep, yes, I do.
And do you repent of your sin and believe in Jesus Christ, that he died for you and rose again so that you could be forgiven and have eternal life?
Yes, I do.
And do you commit by the help of the Holy Spirit and in dependence on God's grace to follow Jesus for the rest of your life and serve him within the worldwide church?
I do.
And lastly, Victor, will you hold fast to Jesus no matter what the future holds, whatever difficulties, challenges, or even persecution?
I will.
Let me pray for you. Father, we thank you for Victor, Lord, for his faith, Lord, for his love for your word, and above all else, his love for you. Thank you, Lord, that when we pray, you do meet with us. You do hear us, Lord. And thank you for the way you've been hearing his prayers and working in his life. And Lord, thank you too for the way you used his family and those around him to model something of faith to him, Lord. And I pray that he would be one who does that to others. Lord, that you would bless him as he goes back to university. Lord, I pray that you would go with him and fill him afresh with your spirit, even this day as he makes this step of baptism to acknowledge his faith before you and before us, Lord. And I pray that he would always be one who stands for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thanks, Victor. And as Victor goes to his seat, we'll have the baptism at the end of the service as the kids come back in as well. You're here and you're relatively new to the church. Maybe this is even your first time. And you're just thinking, you know what? There's something going on here that I want to find out more about. And we'd love to kind of journey that with you, to connect with you a bit. We have on the connections desk here, the connections point, some sort of welcome cards. It would be really helpful if you could fill one of these out. It would help us stay in touch with you. But also there's a great welcome book to the church, and we'd love to just give you one of those. So whether at the connections point or on the door, please do take a moment to come and connect with us. Well, we're going to turn to God's word now, which is what we do each and every time we meet here. And one of the things that we like to do at the beginning of the year is just to take a pause and say, God, what are you saying to us for this year as we head into it? And often we like to just take hold of one verse, and it's this verse on your seats, the one that's up here on the screen. It's there in your Bibles too, in 1 Corinthians 16, 13 and 14. This is a slightly updated version in on the card here. But this verse is one I'd love us to memorize. I'd love us to get it into us this year. So 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13 and 14. We had the children so powerfully speak it to us. And let's see if we can ourselves just say it together one more time here as we come to God's word together. It's from 1 Corinthians. That's the series we've been in. We've been looking at 1 Corinthians. We're up to chapter 8, and we're going to continue on that series in the next few months as well. So 1 Corinthians felt like the right place for us to be looking at as a verse for the year. Are you ready? 1 Corinthians 16, 13 and 14 says this: "Be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong, and do everything in love." It's easy to read, isn't it? But what if we lived it? What if we lived it this year? That would be something remarkable. And you know, I find that as I get scripture in my mind and as I meditate on it in my heart, and as I pray and ask God, help me live this, that he does. So I'm just going to pause again and pray. And then I'm really going to just take time to meditate on these verses together with us, so that God might speak to us. But let this be the beginning for this year. Don't just kind of say, oh, that was that message for the beginning of the year. But as you read this, as you maybe stick it somewhere in your home or in your workplace, let it be something you reflect on. And yeah, come and share with me when you have thoughts and things speak to you from it as well. So let's pause and ask God to meet with us now. Father, open our eyes to see wonderful things in your word, and open our hearts that we might take this verse to heart. And Lord, help us live it, I pray. For I ask in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. I wonder what you're anticipating for 2014. We're now in 2014. Can you believe it? Maybe like me, you like to take some time out just to reflect back and reflect forward. What's this year going to hold? You know, this church has been around for a while, about 125 years or more, actually. And about 100 years ago, well, let's say exactly 100 years ago, on the first Sunday of the month, people will have been sitting probably where you're sitting right now. And I imagine they would have been doing a similar thing, thinking back over 1913 and wondering ahead to 1914. And I don't imagine any of them would have fully anticipated that the First World War would break out in the summer. I don't think any of them would have imagined that it would be called the Great War as it spread across so many continents. I don't imagine any of them would have really grasped the changes that that would have meant for probably everyone who was sitting in these pews 100 years ago. You know, we never know fully what a year ahead will hold. But God knows. God knows, and God speaks to us so that we might have something solid and firm to hold on to as we go into what to us can seem uncertain, whether that's things in the world or maybe even things in your own life. And sometimes our lives feel like there's so much that's uncertain, so overwhelmed sometimes can we get with that, that it feels hard even to really think about much of what's going on in the world. But you know, Paul speaks to the church in Corinth, having addressed things that he knows were going on in the past or even in the present in that church. And he speaks at the end of this epistle, end of this letter to the church in Corinth, a place much like Brighton and Hove today, as we've been seeing in past months. And he speaks to them at the end in 1 Corinthians 16, 13 and 14. And he gives them some words, some exhortations, some amazing, wonderful things to hold on to for the future. Not knowing quite what that future will look like for them or for him, but knowing that these are good things. And I believe that these are vital things for us to hold on to as we head into 2014. So, be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous. Be strong. That's the bit my son Jonah likes in this verse when the girls are saying it. Be strong. And do everything. Everything in love. So are those just kind of random words that he's kind of picked out, Paul, and thought, oh, I know what would be great. Let's tell them to be courageous. And, oh, we mustn't forget faith, so stand firm in the faith. And, oh, love's important, so we better throw that in there. Are these just kind of random things that he's put out there? Or is there something that kind of, a way that they connect together? And is this a verse as well that's just kind of thrown out there at the end of the book? Or does it have actually some connections with the rest of 1 Corinthians, the rest of what he's been writing to them? Well, as I've been digging into this verse, and I've been seeing more and more connections, and I hope that as you dig into it in the coming year, you'll also see more and more things that hold not just this verse together, these verses together, but hold these verses into the rest of the book as well. So I want to use this little phrase in the middle, right in the middle, be courageous, as a way of kind of going back in the verse and going forward in the verse and helping us see that this year is a year for us to live courageously. So that's the first thing I want to talk about this morning, courageous living. How are we to be courageous as Christians in Brighton and Hove in 2014? What does that look like, even to be courageous? Well, the first thing Paul says is, be on your guard. Now, why do we need to be on our guard? Well, we need to be on our guard because Paul, in his letter, time and time again, is saying to the Corinthians, and he's saying to us here in Brighton, that we are to be those who are distinctive from the world around us. We're to be those who, as it were, are different. And that takes courage. If we're to be different people, it means standing out. It means doing something that not everyone else is doing. It means maybe behaving differently or thinking differently. In fact, in the early chapters of 1 Corinthians, he's talked about their thinking, not to be like the world. And then he moves on in the bits we were looking at in 5, 6, and 7 to how they behave. And both our thinking and our behavior is to be distinct, set apart. Even in the very second verse of the entire letter, Paul talks about how they're to be a people set apart. But also, we're going to see in 1 Corinthians as we go forward that we're not just to be distinctive people who kind of retreat from the world. Our distinctiveness is meant to be as those who move towards the world, who engage in the world, who live in the world, as that famous saying goes, to be in the world but not of it. And that takes courage, and it takes us being on our guard. Because if we were to not bother about whether our lives were any different, that would be relatively straightforward. We wouldn't need to be on our guard so much. We could just absorb whatever anyone else is doing or saying and just be like them. And also, if we were to kind of retreat from the world completely, we wouldn't need to be on our guard so much as well. We would just be able to be right. We're just completely, you know, away from it all. But the calling that Paul gives to us, the calling that the Lord Jesus gives to us, is to be those who engage in our world, who live missionary lives of moving towards others, those who reach out with the good news of Christ, who, like Jesus himself, who became incarnated into the world. That's our call as well, and that requires us to be on our guard. I imagine most of you had a chance to come to one of the candlelight services before Christmas. Weren't they fantastic times? And if maybe that was your first time and you're just back here with us in the new year, it's so good to see you as well. But one of the stories I spoke about on that night, you might remember, was of just seeing time and time again as I walked down Brunswick, Western Street, the top of Brunswick Square, seeing this art on the street. There was a kind of a guy called Nick who was kindly gave me permission to use this bit of art, and it had like a compass, and on one side it had love on one sort of point of the compass, and on the opposite side it had fear. And I talked about how fear is so often what keeps us from welcoming others into our lives, from letting God close or letting others close. And you see, if we're to be those who live as Christ wanted us to do, who invite God into our lives, who invite others into our lives, who are doing what we're called to be as followers of Jesus, then it's going to take us being on our guard against fear. And Paul has been addressing that in 1 Corinthians. He said, come on, have courage. Look, don't just think like the world thinks, that it's all about worldly wisdom or worldly power. No, live the way of the cross. That takes courage. Don't just fit in with the kind of sexual norms of the time. Honor God with your body. That takes courage. Don't just settle for the kind of tribalism that's rife in the world of people dividing up into their little groups and slinging stones at one another, or, you know, barbed comments at people who are not like them. No. Live as a united people called to follow God. See, be on your guard because the enemy's schemes are the same. He'll try and get into our thinking to either make us like the world or to make us think that we just need to get away from the world completely. Be on your guard, folks. And he'll be coming and saying, it doesn't matter how you live. Or he'll be saying, oh, you know, you need to get so away from the world that you're not alive, it's not being seen by anyone. Both are ways that the enemy would love to come and trip us up. So what do we do? How do we get on our guard? I love that when the kids are there, they go, be on your guard. It's like ready for battle, because we are in a battle. You know, those folks in 1913, they didn't really probably realize in 1914 the war that was coming. But folks, we already know we're in a spiritual battle. We always have been since the time when Christ came. The kingdom of God has been advancing, and also we have an enemy who doesn't like that. Our battle, the scriptures say, is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers in the heavenly realm. So what should we do? Well, Victor, I found what you said so helpful. We come and we enter into the spiritual realm by saying no. We're not just going to operate in our own strength. We're not just going to pick up sort of weapons of this world. We're going to engage with God in a spiritual realm, and we're going to pray. So time and time again in Jesus' teachings, when he's talking about being on your guard, he says, watch and, what does he say? Watch and pray. Watch and pray when he's there in the Garden of Gethsemane with his disciples, and they're tempted to fall asleep and they're tempted to abandon him. He says, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. Guys, prayer is something we neglect at our peril, because this year is a year where there's so much opportunity, so much that can be done in the name of Jesus, but there's also so much that the enemy would like to do to undermine your faith and my faith and our faith. So be on your guard, be praying. Tonight is our prayer night. Now, these times have been so special in recent months. As I was looking back over last year, one of my highlights was some of the times that we've been having as a church, as we've gathered for prayer. We used to do that on a Thursday night. We're going to move that to a Sunday night so that it's just more accessible, particularly to our young people. You know, you often were meeting on a Thursday night doing your kind of youth thing. We just thought it would be great having you guys sometimes with us. But it's also, I think, more accessible to many. We've got parking up at the courts, but not the courts, the Davigdor School, and it's going to be 6:30 till 8 o'clock. We're going to have a great time of just seeking God in worship. Please come. Maybe you've never come to a prayer night before. Well, you're welcome. I think you'll love it. If you want to draw close to God and experience more of him, I think you'll be touched by him. You don't have to pray out loud if you don't feel comfortable with that. So just a time where we just come and seek God and led to pray into different things, and above all else, just want to encounter him in an amazing way. And we need it, because it helps us be on our guard as we come into the new year. So tonight, first prayer night of the year. I've been looking forward to this since the 1st of January, thinking, oh yeah, we need to get praying. So please join us 6:30 tonight for prayer. Be on your guard. But it goes on, and he says, stand firm in the faith. And again, this is not disconnected, because the enemy, it's one of the wonderful things he loves to do is undermine our faith and undermine God's people so that they move off the faith. And you notice with me in this verse, it says, stand firm. And what does it say? Does it say stand firm in faith or in your faith or my faith? What does it say? Stand firm in the faith. The faith. You see, Paul has been teaching them that there is this faith that we have in Jesus Christ that's rooted in facts, solid things that you can stand on. He said in 1 Corinthians 15, just turn back there with me, verse 3, what I received I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. And then he talks about the people by name that they've appeared to, and then hundreds that Christ appeared to has risen as well. This fact of Jesus' death and his resurrection, what we remember in baptism, the symbol of dying with Christ and being raised to a new life, these are facts. These are things that were proclaimed throughout the world and are still being proclaimed, on which people can make their stand. They're solid. You can be confident of them. And they're things that are not about what you or I have done, but about what Christ has done for us. Our faith, you see, rests on what he has done, not on how great a Christmas you had. Not about how you're feeling as you're coming into the new year. I don't know, maybe you're actually feeling pretty rubbish. Maybe you've had a difficult Christmas. Maybe it's even been a time where sin has crept back into your life in some way. Maybe there's been things that you've said that you wish you hadn't said, or maybe even a relationship that's got worse, not better. Well, folks, we're not looking to how we feel as we come into this new year. Our standing firm is not in our own righteousness or in the wonderful things we've done or not done. Our standing firm is in the faith. It's in what Christ has done for you. And he's done some amazing things for you and for me. He's poured out his grace. It always does me good as I come into any year or any day or any Sunday or anything that God's called me to know that my solid ground, as it were, is Christ. He is my rock. Let him be your rock again this morning, this year. Maybe you feel like you've fallen down. Well, stand back up firm on the ground. And then, you know what? It doesn't matter so much what the year holds. Do you remember that story that Jesus told of someone stood firm, or it was even a house that stood firm? The rain came down and the floods came up. There were two builders. We've had quite a bit of rain and quite a bit of a stormy weather, and some houses are still standing, some are less still standing. But tell you what makes a difference is what the foundations are like. And Jesus told a story about one person who built on sand and another who built on the rock. And guess what? The one on the rock, though it probably was tougher to build, that house stood firm. And if you and I are standing on the faith, because Jesus said that the wise man, the one who built on the rock, was the one who heard his words and put them into practice. If we're the ones who are hearing Jesus and thinking, yeah, I trust him. He's reliable. I can be sure. He's utterly dependable. As we do that, then we can stand firm, friends. And there is nothing, I kid you not, nothing that can come this year that if you're standing on Jesus Christ, you cannot weather. Nothing. Why? Because he is utterly faithful. He is solid. He's the rock. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 9. Just turn to the beginning of this book. You might have to cast your mind back to when we were preaching right at the start. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 9. I love this verse. It says this: God, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, is faithful. God, who even this morning has drawn you here, so wonderful to see you. God, who wants you to be close to Jesus, to, as Tim was saying just before Christmas, spend time with him and do what he says. The one who wants you to follow Jesus. And as I've come into this new year, I've thought about some of my things, my kind of resolutions for the year. You know what my main one is? This year, I want to follow Jesus. Because as I look back to last year, that's the thing that actually was the best thing about last year, is that I kept following Jesus. And this year, folks, stay close to him, spend time with him, stand firm on him. He is your rock. He is utterly dependable. He will never, never let you down. Kate proved that in her life. Victor's proving that in his life. And for all of us, that can be our story. But it takes sometimes courage to do that, doesn't it? To stand when you've been knocked down. That kind of humility that says, no, I'm going to stand back on something solid, on Jesus Christ. You know, it takes sometimes courage to do what Victor's just done, to stand, even in front of Christians, or maybe many who are Christians, say, I believe in Jesus Christ. Maybe actually baptism is something, as you come into this year, you're thinking, you know what, I need to stand firm in this faith. I need to make a stand and say, I believe in Jesus. And maybe actually it's been fear that's been holding you back from being baptized. You know, you don't need to come and, share a testimony. We don't make people have to do that. But so the Bible says, believe and be baptized. You do need to say, right, I want to be identified with Jesus. If you want to follow him, that's one of the beginning things that he calls you to. Maybe that's you, even this year. Someone else has already asked later on in the year to get baptized. Maybe you want to join them. Maybe even you want to join Victor today. Hey, you'd be welcome. We always say that people are welcome to come. We have spare clothes. You don't need to share a testimony. You will need to answer those same questions. And so even as this service goes on, you might just be thinking, you know, actually, yeah, I want to make a stand. I've been putting this off, but as we come into the new year, I want to be baptized. Hey, and don't do it for me or do it to keep Victor company. He's very happy standing, you know, on his own. But If it's something God's putting on your heart, don't hold back because of fear. Worried about getting wet. You know, go for it. Follow Jesus. God can make such a difference through our stands of obedience for him. So, be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. And then, as we look at the faith that God calls us to stand firm in, what we see is that faith always leads to action. Faith leads to something changing in our lives. And the faith that we have in Jesus Christ gives us amazing confidence. We're standing on something solid. You know, come rain or shine, we can stand. So this courage comes not because I'm strong, not because my life is perfect, not because I've got everything sorted or I know that I'm bigger or better than whatever's going to face me. No, all those things may actually and probably are. I'm not strong. I'm not weak. I'm not perfect. I'm not bigger and better. But God is. God is righteous. God is strong. God is wise. God is powerful. God is faithful. And so I can have courage because one plus God is a majority. Amen. One plus God is a majority. And so you and I can have courage and be strong, even when we feel weak and feeble, because he is our strength. And so that's why this verse goes on, and it goes on very naturally into this courage. And courage is not something that's different and distinct from love. We sometimes think of love as this kind of fluffy romantic thing, but love in the Bible, you know, has got courage right there with it, because love, you see, as we saw in Nick's very powerful painting, is that kind of that fear is often the thing that keeps us from love. So if we really are going to love in the way Christ wants us to, we're going to need to overcome our fears, and that takes courage. We're going to be those who move towards people in communities, those who reach out to the needy, like we're planning to do in the night shelter. We're going to be those who give generously, as Tim was encouraging us to, trusting and believing that God's at work. We're going to need to be those that say, okay, God, I'm going to go for it in praying for my family, or praying as a couple, or praying for others, because I believe that that's one of the ways I can demonstrate my love for them. We're going to be those who not just live courageously, but actually realize that living courageously is loving courageously. So I want to talk just secondly and lastly, not just about courageous living, but I want to talk about courageous loving, because this is so often where the rubber hits the road. Where we've so grasped our faith that we really allow ourselves to be moved in love. Someone once came to Jesus and had lots of questions about love and about what it meant to keep God's commands. And he was kind of a guy who said, okay, this love your neighbor. You know, who's my neighbor? Who should I love in this way? And Jesus told a story. It's a very famous story, story of the Good Samaritan. We often just kind of think of it like that. But actually, when you get into the story, there's so much there. I don't have time to really unpack it all. But you had two guys who walked past this guy who'd been sort of mugged on the road and beaten up and left for dead on the side. You can imagine he was probably bleeding. He's probably in the ditch. Anyway, two people probably thought, you know what? I not got time for this. I don't want to get my hands dirty. And they actually moved across on the other side. But one guy who was walking along, who wasn't even of the same kind of type as this guy. Really, he was meant to be his enemy. This Samaritan stops, moves across the road, gets his hands involved in this person's life and helps him. Does that take courage? That takes courage. That kind of love where we move towards people, even maybe those who've hurt us. Even maybe those who wouldn't want our help if they knew it was us helping them. That we move towards them and we kind of self-sacrificially, as it were, stoop and see what we can do to help them. It might seem like a small thing, but believe you me, when you live like that, big things happen. I remember one time when I was, it was February time actually, and I was a few years back, I was facing quite a big decision in my life. And I don't know if you've had moments like that where you just cry out and say, God, please, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do, Lord? And I remember walking down on the seafront. It was a time not that dissimilar to the weather we're having, quite sort of a lot of wind and even a bit of rain. And, you know, basically it was kind of spray from the waves. And I remember walking down and praying, saying, God, what do you want me to do? And I saw in the sea, I saw a plank. Some of you might have heard me talk about my plank before. It was a really powerful moment in my life. And I saw this plank, you know, bobbing up and down in the water. I won't throw it into the water to, but I actually had to get wet to get it. And God as soon as I saw it, I thought, this is significant, because it reminded me of the cross. And actually, as I got a hold of it, I realized that it had a nail in this side, and there was one that had been lost there. And as soon as I picked it up, I remembered that bit where Jesus says, if anyone's to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And I thought of another verse in Galatians 2:20 where it says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live, I live by faith. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. See, this faith in Jesus is rock solid because I know I'm loved. I'm deeply loved by one who gave his life for me. So when he says, follow me, and he says, follow me, David, no matter what it might cost, follow me because you trust me. You know, this decision that felt like a big decision at the time actually somehow became a small decision, because it was just a decision to trust God in the next step. To say, God, I'm going to pick up my cross. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to live by faith. And I'm going to live a life that lays down my life for the sake of others. And I need your help to do that today and tomorrow and the next day. And folks, that's what we're called to. That's the thing that can change this city. That's the thing that can change the nation. As we do that, love is a difficult thing to do on your own. Do you realize that? That's why God calls us to one another so many times. One another this, one another that, one another the other. And we're called to be those who reach out together with the love of Christ, this courageous love. I want to tell you a story as I end. It's a story that moved me when I read it. It was a guy, Mike Breen, who's helped churches all across the, well, he started in the UK, but is now doing this around the world. Help people get this heart of being kind of communities that reach out for others, kind of rediscovering something that sometimes when we've just kind of built churches and come to them and stuck in them, we've kind of lost. And he told this story about how in church history in about 165 AD, there was an epidemic that broke out in the kind of Western world, in the Roman sort of empire of that time. And that epidemic lasted for about 15 years. Imagine that. Something starts, breaks out, some kind of disease that goes on for 15 years. People are dying all over the place. They estimate that up to between a quarter and a third of the population died. Again, we never know what the future holds. And you can imagine when there's people dying around and disease is spreading, you know, that time they're not stupid, they might not have all understood all the modern science. If you could leave, you left the cities. You kind of basically, it didn't matter whether you were kind of a well-off or, you were kind of, you know, a lecturer or someone like that. You know, you basically, if you could leave, you left. You went to some place where you were away from all these people who were dying. And pretty much everyone did that except one group of people. You know who they were? They were the Christians. The Christians stayed in the cities. Stayed in the cities to sometimes do even just the most basic thing, like provide shelter for those who are sick. Even sometimes just to provide a decent burial for those who are already dead. You might say, well, that's a bit of a waste of time, particularly if you may potentially die yourself. But you know, when you've got a relative who's been watching someone die and they see you do that, boy, that makes a difference. And these Christians just loved and did acts of love towards those who were in need. They did it together. And those who recovered, well, guess what? They joined them. You would, wouldn't you? And the others around who saw that there was a way of living that wasn't just built on fear, but was actually built with courageous love, they discovered that, where did that love come from? From faith in Jesus Christ, who gave his all for us. And the gospel spread so rapidly in the Roman Empire that it went within just 100 years from being something on the margins of the society to being right at the heart. The whole empire transformed. Why? Well, actually, it was through small things done with great love. Actually, Mother Teresa used that little phrase, small things done with great love, as she sought to reach out in India to those in need. And really, that's what we're called to as we follow Jesus. That's what we're called to as a church, to be those who will do small things with great love. Believing and trusting that as we do that, big things can change, that God works out his kind of kingdom purposes for the whole world. For Brighton and Hove. For the UK, for India, of Iran. And he's doing that, and we're joining with him as we do small things with great love, standing firm in the faith. And so the question comes, will we have faith in him so that we will join him and do everything we do in love? That this year we would be those working with him to make a difference. That's the call. That's what this verse is about. And as I end, I just want to ask, what is the act of courage? I'm going to come back up here so I can even see. What is it that God is calling you to have courage to do? What is even the thing that feels like maybe a small act? But if you do it in love for God and love for others, it could have a big impact. And I wonder if we could just say, Holy Spirit, come and reveal that. Even for each one of us. That we might be those who live courageously because we love courageously in 2014. And maybe we get such in the habit of it that that would become a pattern for life. And that'd be wonderful. So let's bow our heads and just going to pray. Come, Holy Spirit. And just a few things that God's put on my heart. Maybe there's some things here that might touch others as you think about this year. Father, please, come, we pray. Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, move amongst us. Where do you need courage? I was praying for this time. I felt there would be some who just needed to, as it were, stand for Christ. Maybe you feel like you've fallen down and you, as it were, want to get back up and say, no, I'm standing on the rock that is Christ. Maybe you're one who's not been baptized and you want to say, yeah, I want to stand this year, maybe even this day, I want to make a stand for Jesus Christ. Maybe you've not made a stand at work. No one knows you're a Christian. You want to stand for him. And it's a hard thing to do in the workplace, but sometimes it starts by doing it here. There might be others, and you've actually never, as it were, put your trust in Jesus Christ, said, I'm standing on him and him alone, the Savior of the world. I want to say, if there's anything in there just needing to stand on Christ, in whatever way, I will invite you, if you're able, to stand right now with me. So just if that's you in any one of those things, just will you stand? Lord, please. Just keep giving these folks courage as they seek to stand in whatever way you know. Lord, please fill them with your Spirit that they might be able to know your ability, your power, I pray. Please, God. And then keep them standing. Keep them standing for you. There's always a prayer team after the service if there's anything specific that you do want to pray through with anyone. But just I'm going to ask you now to just sit down again. And I just want to pray for another group, Lord. I pray, God, that for those who've kind of let their guard down without even realizing it because they've been neglecting prayer. You know, prayer takes courage because it's putting our trust in God, not in ourselves. And it's engaging in the spiritual realities that we sometimes like to pretend don't exist. And maybe there's something you've been neglecting. Maybe it's that praying as a couple, or praying with your kids, praying for your kids. Maybe it's even prayer nights. Maybe you've never come or you've been haven't come for years. And I want to ask if you just come into this year and you're saying, Lord, give me courage in my praying to change something, to engage. Would you just raise your hand if you just this year just want fresh move of God, courage to pray. God, give these folks courage to pray, to change something in their life, Lord. Lord, I pray, God, they would know your power, even maybe tonight, even today, this week, in a fresh way to pray. Meet with us as we call on you tonight, I ask. And lastly, Lord, for all of us, I would pray this courage to move towards someone. Maybe you just want to think of them right now. Ask us, by your Spirit, help us be those that love courageously. Maybe someone who is part of the church, maybe someone who's not, maybe someone in your community, maybe it's even joining a community. It's your way of saying, yeah, I'm going to step forward and reach out with others. And I just pray, Lord, that for those that today they would do something, that they'd make a phone call or they'd connect with the connections desk. Lord, I pray even that that would be all of us in some way would move towards someone, I ask. And Lord, thank you that as we do that, you strengthen us. Thank you that you come and touch us by your Spirit. Lord, we think of that time when you appeared to Daniel and you strengthened him and you touched him and lifted him. And I pray, God, for each and every one, may you do that now, I ask. And Lord, I praise you in the wonderful name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Tim's just going to come up and lead us again, and I'm just going to connect with Hosro. I think has got someone he wants to introduce me to. As we worship, Sean and Edmund, Victor's dad, are going to get in the pool to prepare for baptism. And if anyone else does feel that calling, then do just come and see me. That'd be great.